Hello and welcome back to the Gaming News Canada show. And yes, it's me again, your host, Steve McAllister. Late last month, actually about 10 days ago, U.S. Integrity and Odds on Compliance announced the two companies had completed a merger that began last October. The company introduced a new name, IC360, and a mandate to develop new compliance and integrity issues at a time when sports betting operators and sports leagues and organizations find themselves under the microscope in this age of increasing digital sports wagering across the U.S. and Canada. Two of the major players in bringing the two groups together continue to have leading roles with the new company, and they have joined us here today on the podcast. We welcome back to the Gaming News Canada show the CEO of IC360, Matthew Holt, and making his maiden and long overdue appearance on the show, the president of IC360, Eric Frank. Eric, just want to start with you, and as I said, it's been a long time getting you on the show. I think we first met at the ICE in London two years ago, and I've been chasing you a little bit, and I know you're a busy guy, so as is Matt. So I really appreciate you you coming on the podcast for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to be here, and should have been sooner. I think I caught COVID after that ICE in London, so probably wouldn't have been a good time, but I'm happy to be here for sure.
Hey, Matt, let's start with you, and thanks again for being back. And as I mentioned, this merger, the lead up IC360 first started last October. As I mentioned off before we hit the record button, these are two companies, Odds on Compliance and U.S. Integrity. They were kind of fast rising rocket ships in the gaming industry. And for an outsider, it might seem a bit strange for two companies doing really well to come together, but maybe you can just kind of quickly tell us the backstory and how these two companies came together.
Sure. Eric, as to your point, both Eric's company, Odds on Compliance, and U.S. Integrity really were rocket ships within the industry. But one of the things we were both hearing collectively from all of our clients, especially on the operator side, was that it was really profit prohibitive and time restraining and resource restraining for operators to continue to pay retail rates to 15 different compliance firms for 15 different mandated compliance services. And they really were looking for someone who could build that single login, single vendor, single integration solution. And Eric and I were fortunate enough to both try to kind of be problem solvers in the industry. And we came together in late 22 and said, hey, one of the biggest problems going on now is prohibited better. We had saw with Calvin Ridley, then Iowa State, and some other instances. We had over 230 instances of prohibited better in 2023 alone. So we were fortunate enough to both acknowledge, hey, we probably can't build and launch this product in 6 months alone and get it to market prior to the start of college or professional football season. So we brought the two teams together, did a JV called ProAbet, which was the first real practical solution to the prohibited better problem in North America. And being able to build under tight timelines, build, spec out, launch, sell that product together, we realized, wow, the two teams really work well together. The two companies are so symbiotic. And that really led us to completing the merger.
Hey, Eric, I always like to see if there's like a personal story or kind of that moment, the first time you guys had a conversation. Again, these are two companies that are still relatively new getting together. Like, was this a case of you and Matt running into each other at a conference, or it seemed you were having the same conversations with the same potential partners? Like, how did this all come about?
Yeah, so we share some common investors and advisors. So I think that certainly helped us come together. But I wouldn't say it was the kind of driving factor. To me, it was I had a vision of being a one-stop shop compliance and regulatory solution, both on advisory services but also technology. And Matt had that same vision. And really, when we got down to it and rolled up our sleeves to come together and build ProAbet together, it was as Matt said, I mean, it was our technology teams coming together and building product on a timeline that probably has never been seen before. It was our sales teams coming together and selling and getting engagement across regulators, operators, and sports properties on a short time frame. And it was leadership kind of coming together and building a product in a JV, which is sometimes never easy. And what we found was that it was really easy, and it made sense. And I mean, talking to Matt almost every single day since probably like the going back to 2022 when we were kind of really getting going, and that hasn't stopped. And it's just a natural fit. And we both had the really the goal of kind of taking this on a global basis and offering solutions on a global basis for the industry, and really doing that together just made a lot of sense.
Hey, Matt, on the integrity piece, and I think this is a conversation you and I've had in the past, it's such a crowded environment in that integrity space. And we know there are data providers who have an integrity service, and we know there are, organizations like the International Tennis Federation has its own integrity betting service. In Canada here, we have the Canadian Center for Ethics and Sports that touches on integrity a little bit, and McLaren Global Sports Solutions. Like, can you just explain for our audience kind of how US Integrity now, IC360, where you fit in that space, and what you're doing is maybe a bit unique from what other companies in integrity are doing?
So when you hear people mention the word integrity, maybe it seems a bit crowded, but at the end of the day, let's start with the major factor is if you're going to be a real integrity provider in North America, you should probably be a licensed independent integrity monitor, because that's the mandate in most jurisdictions that operators contract with a licensed provider. And of those, there's only two. So at the end of the day, we talk about all these other folks that say integrity, and maybe it means different things to a lot of different people. But in order, for us, our core competency is identifying abnormalities and instances of potential nefarious activity in regulated sports betting markets, being the front-end alerting system to regulators, operators, and professional collegiate sports properties in real time. And I think, look, at the end of the day, I don't want to say anything ill of anybody else, but we catch more people in a month than a lot of those data companies have ever caught in North America since PASPA was repealed. So, the system is working, but the system in our world is actually the identification of the abnormalities, of the suspicious and abnormal wagering behavior, and then the front-end investigation and alerting mechanisms that are in place. We send 15 to 20 alerts a month, of which 75% turn into suspensions, bans, or arrests related to nefarious sports betting activity. So at the end of the day, when we send something out, it matters. And I think, I'm not trying to discount what some of the other folks are doing, but there's a reason they're not licensed integrity monitors.
Hey, Eric, on the compliance piece, and again, as from just the work that you do and from attending the various conferences, I mean, the regulated gambling in both the U.S. and in Canada, it's so, the U.S. more so, 38 states with sports, legal sports betting now, I think it's 7 U.S. states with legal iGaming, but different regulations and rules, it seems, in every state. And the one complaint you often hear is that operators do wish there was a consistent framework with regards to the regulatory regime. Like, how does your business support that? Is it strictly technology driven? Is it the fact that you have expertise that can help these operators navigate those regulatory waters?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. I mean, that exact problem was partially why I founded Odds On Compliance originally, now IC360, but navigating various regulations and advisory opinions, technical bulletins, all the varying degrees of information that regulators put out that differs across different jurisdictions. Not only understanding and navigating the differences was difficult. Just finding all the information across all these jurisdictions was even just as hard, and people were spending so much time just navigating different websites that look in different, that have information in different places, that call things differently. So what we did is we kind of we built a product that puts all of that information all in one place, so people can look at different states side by side, different countries side by side, and compare and contrast regulations and requirements across different jurisdictions. So that was that's what we built on the technology side. And then on the advisory piece, we help folks do what you're talking about, do gap analyses between different states to understand kind of, you know, requirements in the state, how what percentage equal are they to another state or jurisdiction, and really understand, you know, the unique differences between those and help them navigate from a product development and also kind of launch timeline, what it will take to get up and running in the market.
And again, Eric, for our audience, what's that connection between compliance and integrity?
To me, the two words are symbiotic. I mean, they go together. Integrity is a piece of compliance, and compliance, quite frankly, is a piece of integrity. Both are so critical to the ecosystem. From a patron's perspective, knowing that you're not going to the games you're betting on aren't fixed, and you can trust that the games are happening in an appropriate manner, and that you can bet on them in a place that's licensed and following all the rules in a different jurisdiction. Those two things are so critical to the ecosystem, which allows for the end user, the customer, the patrons to feel comfortable that, you know, in this form of entertainment, they're doing it in a place that they can trust. And while we aren't, you know, patron facing, I think both Matt and I take pride in the fact that the work we do, that our organizations do, that you know, the 70 people plus behind us come in day in, day out, is partially to help protect and make that patron feel comfortable in you know, they're spending their entertainment dollar in this industry.
Hey, Matt, back when I was still writing the Gaming News Canada newsletter, it was almost like, there's three sure things in life, death, taxes, and U.S. integrity announcing a partnership deal every week in the newsletter. And it became a bit of a running joke for me as I wrote the newsletter, the Thursday edition. And, you know, obviously one area where you had a lot of success, and I'm sure this is going to carry over with IC360, is with U.S. colleges. And we see that's been a fast moving train, and not in a positive aspect in terms of betting. And we've seen some states take a stance against prop betting with of student athletes. And you announced this week, you and Eric bringing on board Mark Potter and Dan Trillero from Epic Global Solutions to lead your education and training division. Can you maybe just a few high level thoughts just on the work that you're doing with the NCAA, because it is such a hot button issue in the U.S.?
College betting in the United States is so unique just to the U.S. compared to the rest of the world. You know, the number one and number three most wagered on events in the United States are collegiate events. You know, number one being March Madness, number two being the Super Bowl, number three being the college football playoff. There is just no other jurisdiction globally in which college sports is entrenched in such a prominent way in the regulated sports betting ecosystem as it is in the U.S. And with that being said, I always get nervous when I see bans on college prop betting, because at the end of the day, that's never going to stop the betting on props. It's just going to drive them to gray market daily fantasy sites or underground or illegal sports betting sites where we don't have access to data, we don't have the transparency, we don't have the diligent operators they're looking into and reporting on abnormal activity they might see. So I'm always hesitant to ban any markets, especially ones that are as popular as collegiate athletes. But also on the collegiate side, it's not just about how much or how little money they earn, because with NIL, that the amount of money they now have is changing a bit, but it's also just the age, the maturity of 18 to 22 year old young men and women is just different than adults. And at the end of the day, I think the key is educate, educate, educate. Imagine a world where Eric and I have 75 employees and we can barely keep up with what the rules are in 40 states plus another 200 tribal jurisdictions plus jurisdictions in Canada and Puerto Rico and Latin America. It's a daunting task for professionals with domain expertise in the industry like Eric and I, How do we expect an 18-year-old walking onto a college campus to understand the state law ramifications, the regulatory ramifications that are going to affect them? Is it against the law for me to bet on my own teams, or is it just a policy violation of the NCAA? So we really push education, education, education at the forefront as the best deterrent that these colleges can take in order to protect those young men and women participating in all these different events that we love to bet on so much. And that's why we hired Mark and Dan and another young man recently and really expanded our education initiatives, because we just think at the end of the day, education is the best deterrent and the step one that we want to take on college campuses across America.
It just seems to make sense, guys, that if you're an athlete today playing at the professional level, at the International Olympic level, or at the NCAA level, that education training around gambling is every bit as valuable as what we've had in the past with drug testing and those other issues. Is that a fair statement, Eric?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it comes down to the integrity and the fairness of the games and the testing, the monitoring, it's and the education, as Matt so rightly pointed out, all are contributing factors there, and it is just as important for sure.
A word from our sponsor.
Hey there, sports fans. Are you looking for fresh and fun takes on the hottest topics in Canadian sports? Well, we've got just what you need. Introducing Homestand Sports Today, your go-to daily sports newsletter, bringing you the Canadian angle on the hottest NHL, NBA, footy stories, and more right to your inbox. But wait, there's more. Homestand Sports isn't just another text-heavy newsletter. Every story has its own video featuring our talented hosts like me, Albert Vartanian, giving you a newsletter experience like never before. And did I mention it's a free subscription? Subscribe now at homestand.ca.
Now back to the show.
I want to get both your thoughts on this, and I'll start with you, Matt. And again, that's, you know, we Matt, you referenced the Ridley suspension. We saw in the NHL this season, at the beginning of the season, Shane Pinto from the Ottawa Senators get a 41-game suspension for quote gambling related activity. Here in Ontario, we're quite familiar with the Jante Porter ban by the NBA, the former Toronto Raptors player recently. Again, you talk to people who work in the regulated gambling space, and they'll tell you that it's the work that companies like US Integrity in the past, now IC360, the work that they're doing, that's catching these people. And if we kind of went back to the days of, I guess, the Wild West with in Canada, gray market operators, and in the US, offshore or legal operators, that wouldn't happen. Matt, is it as black and white as that?
It really is. And I still think we're just at the tip of the spear right now. So look, again, we catch 15 to 20 people a month illicitly participating in regulated sports betting. It was almost 30 years since, you know, anyone caught anyone legally in the United States. We have to go back to 1994 Arizona State. And even that instance, we'd be embarrassed today, because they got to fix four games before someone finally even asked them, what the heck are you doing? We try to catch them first. Yeah, you think of the Alabama head coaching situation. We sent out that alert 3 hours before the first attempt they made to manipulate a game, not four games in, five games in later. But I still think it's early days in terms of the amount of data that we get compared to what we should get, the amount of collaboration and cooperation we get compared to what we hopefully will get. You know, most states have mandates that, you know, operators must contract with an independent licensed integrity monitor, but not all states, including my home state of Nevada, doesn't. So that's sort of become the Wild West. Some states have data mandates. Think about the financial service world and how much it parallels sports betting, even the terminology for the people involved, traders, risk managers. And at the end of the day, Charles Schwab could never go to the SEC and say, hey, don't worry, we'll send you the trades if we think they're suspicious. We need to get that same betting data in real time so we can use AI, use modern technology to flag and identify abnormalities. And we're getting there and we're moving there, and it gets better every day. but I still think we have a little ways to go.
Eric, your thoughts?
100% agree, and I think that's exactly why IC360 came together, right? I mean, it's to build on the great work that Matt and Scott and the team at US Integrity are doing, the hard work that the folks at Odds On are doing. It's bringing those together. It's adding in a critical component of the education. It's finding the other, you know, identifying the other aspects of the integrity and compliance ecosystem. I mean, you know, we call it IC360 for a reason. 360 around the globe, 360 ecosystem across compliance and integrity. So, you know, don't worry, Steve. You're going to continue to see those both partnership announcements coming from US Integrity and now IC360, but not just on different leagues that are joining up. Like, you know, we had La Liga come in from Spain recently as well. So looking at global partnerships, but beyond leagues, we're talking other areas that we're going to focus on in addition to education. So a lot more coming from us.
Hey, we only have you guys for a few more minutes, but I do want to ask both you and Eric, start here. Matt just mentioned data and AI, and you know, one thing I'm trying to talk a little bit more in the podcast about is the use of artificial intelligence in the gambling industry. So I'd like to just ask you guys, like, how are you guys using AI right now, and where do you see the opportunities in the future with AI?
From the historic Odds On side, we leverage artificial intelligence on our playbook product. So you can, if you're using our playbook product to review regulations and statutes, advisory opinions, et cetera, we leverage natural language kind of question modeling that so you can ask a question across multiple jurisdictions, and our AI technology will evaluate that and lead you toward you know, the information within those regulations that you need. But it's also it's AI, but you know, we also need that human in the loop touch on that piece. So we have tagging that and categorization that our experts do to help train and model that AI. So certainly we take advantage of it on that side. And I think I'll let Matt speak to some of the AI that happens within the integrity monitoring, you know, tracking some of that.
Yeah, so important for us, Steve, at the end of the day, that we start to utilize AI and modern technology more and more, so that we could flag abnormalities in real time. And we brought up the example of the Alabama coach, and we just use that as an example because it's already been adjudicated, and you know, he'll never work in collegiate sports again. And the co-conspirator there, you know, pled guilty to two charges and is going to go to jail. And it showed how the system worked. But we were able to send that out 3 hours prior to the start of that game because of the diligent work of the operators and because our system can identify these wagers in real time to determine, help us better at least determine what really is an abnormal or suspicious activity. And when you're talking about $150 billion legally wagered in North America in 2024, you can't have human beings just staring at a screen all the time and thinking they're going to identify out all the abnormal trends and patterns. We have to use technology as a friend there to help us. And then once the system identifies these abnormal patterns or behavior, then we can send it to a human analyst very quickly. But we continue to use more and more AI in our identification processes. We're hoping that as our ProAbet continues to grow and evolve, we can use it to better identify that, hey, this is with a 99.9% certainty the right individual that, you know, is on this prohibited better list for a reason. And so I think it's an important in all types of identification compliance, but in our businesses, we're using it more and more, and we're really excited about, you know, its uses within our space and how we can combine domain expertise with modern technology and AI to build products that the industry has never seen before.
Hey guys, last question, and definitely want to get you back on at some point, because we could easily talk for an hour next time on what you guys are doing and dig into both compliance and integrity a little bit more. But I'd be remiss if I didn't ask both of you about any plans for Canada and if you're doing anything here in the market right now and where the opportunities might be. Matt, you want to start that?
Sure. Look, we're always excited about new jurisdictions. And I think when Ontario opened initially, one of the most exciting things about Ontario is just the sheer volume and number of licensed operators there. There's so many. So a lot of opportunity for us to service a lot of different clients at different levels, offering different products and services. And of course, we're hearing a lot of talks of some of the other provinces getting ready now to put some legislation in place. So we're hoping that as Canada continues to open different provinces with legal sports betting, iGaming, and other type of gambling products, that IC360 is right there to offer a comprehensive suite of services. And so this has always been, for us, it was never about US, it was always North America. We were right there as Ontario launched. We worked so closely with the AGCO on integrity issues. I'm about to host a regulator monthly where we kind of go over trends we're seeing and alerts from the last month. And the folks from the AGCO are always there, present and attentive. And so we're so excited about where we are currently working with all the wonderful operators and regulators in Canada. And I think Canada is still early days considering some of the other jurisdictions are just starting to open up.
Yeah. Last, Eric, final word to you.
Yeah, just to reiterate on that point, Canada is a really important part of our global roadmap, and we're certainly already there. U.S. Integrity providing services as well as odds on to some of the advisors. So certainly an important part of our approach. And to that effect, we actually just recently brought on somebody. A former regulator from the AGCO to join our team and really help us expand our Canadian presence.
Yes, Sebastian Jedrowski, and I hope I got that right. How about to butcher that?
It's you, because I butcher his last name every time. So.
Yeah, well, I'll hear from Sebastian if I did do a butchering job. Eric Frank is the president of IC360. Matt Holt is the CEO of IC360. Hey guys, really great to do this. Eric, great to finally get you on the podcast. Matt, it's always great chatting with you. And as I said, we'll definitely get you guys back over the summer, early fall, and talk a little bit more about two really important topics in the gambling industry.
Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Have a good one.
As always, guys, you can listen to the Gaming News Canada show podcast at gamingnewscanada.ca and on the various podcast platforms. Once again, grateful to both Matt Holt and Eric Frank for their time today, and we look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Gaming News Canada show. Sign up for our newsletter at gamingnewscanada.ca. Follow Steve McAllister on LinkedIn. Message Steve if you're interested in being a sponsor or featured guest.